Are you ready for some revolutionary radio? Let's do it together right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I tweeted it out. I posted it on Facebook last night, just something I was feeling deeply. I never signed up to be part of traditional religion or to be part of the religious right or to be part of the mainstream establishment. I signed up to be a disciple and to make disciples. And sometimes that intersects with traditional religion and the religious right and the mainstream establishment. Sometimes it goes directly against it. And that's why we keep talking about revolution. Welcome to the broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884, the number to call. I have a question for you. Did you watch the interview on Tucker Carlson last night? I guess his first show now, taking over for the slot for Bill O'Reilly, where he interviewed Bruce Caitlin Jenner. Did you watch the interview either live or subsequently? If so, in your opinion, did it help the cause of transgender activism? Here you have Bruce Jenner talking about the struggles he's endured and the struggles of those who identify as transgender. And sexuality is one thing and gender identity is another, and therefore discussing it in this way is only going to help the cause of trans activists? Or do you feel that it hurt the cause of transgender activists in that you have someone that is still evidently a biological male, even with sex change surgery, doesn't change that Bruce Jenner is a biological chromosomal male? And talking with, if you turn away from the screen, that's a male voice, and not able to answer certain questions head on, or choosing not to answer them head on. In that case, did it hurt the cause of trans activism? Just curious. We're not going to major on that. May take a few calls. But if you watched the interview, if you saw it last night, and you have an opinion, let me know. I also posted the question on Twitter and Facebook, so you can weigh in there as well. 866-348-7884. We're going to bring on, a little while into the broadcast, in the first hour, John Zmirak. John is a friend and colleague. He writes regularly on the stream as well as PhD in English literature. He is a conservative Catholic, and he has lots of concerns with where Catholic bishops are going and lots of concerns with where Pope Francis is going. So since I'm not Catholic and since I don't major on Catholic issues, but they are of national interest and international interest, and because John is a conservative Catholic, I think you'll find his perspective very interesting. John's always got brilliant, insightful perspectives as well. We'll get into that. Someone just sent me, I didn't hear about this. A new family arrangement. Yeah, a bit of a shocker. Oh, but everyone's going to be so happy. We'll tell you about that as well. Maybe get into some of the errors where science ceases to be science, where in the name of science it gets involved in bizarre issues and claims. Hopefully we'll get to that as well. A bunch more things. And your calls, 866-348-7884. But first, I want to talk about what fuels my fire. I want to talk about why I said that I never signed up for traditional religion. I had a radical encounter with God over 45 years ago, and since then I've lived to make him known. Jesus revolutionized my life, and I want to help spread that revolution around the world. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. My latest article, you can read it by going to my website, askdrbrown.org. It's drawing a good amount of attention. And actually, hang on, you read it at the Charisma News site. That looks like where it is. You can read it on the Charisma News site. And that might be the easiest place to read it right now. Low-cut tops, sexual harassment, and Bill O'Reilly. Low-cut tops, sexual harassment, and Bill O'Reilly. I think you'll find it interesting, and I'm eager to start reading the responses and comments. Let me just see. Yeah, I haven't even looked at the comments yet, but I'm eager to check that out as well. We talked about it on the air yesterday, and I'm not revisiting that today. Just want to let you know that, as promised, I did write the article. Okay. All right. What did I mean when I said I didn't sign up for traditional religion? What prompted me to post that? What's that got to do with you? Why do you care what I did or didn't sign up for it? Let me explain. I was looking at some footage last night on YouTube, looking at some remakes of classic songs, folk songs, rock songs that got redone by others. I forget what got me on that subject. There's apparently a heavy metal group or something. I'm not familiar with them, Disturbed. And they put out a very powerful rendition of the Simon Garfunkel Sound of Silence song. Apparently that's become a big hit. I'm not familiar with the group, just knew the song from many years ago. And there was the famous Jimi Hendrix remake of the Bob Dylan All Along the Watchtower. Of course, that was in the 60s. And I was just looking at some of these, and it drew me to some footage from Woodstock. There was a song that Joni Mitchell wrote about Woodstock. She wasn't there. And Crosby, Stills, and Nash then did their rendition of it. Theirs was kind of a cheery, upbeat. The Joni Mitchell one more of kind of like a, almost like a hymn to Woodstock. And the Crosby, Stills, and Nash, this kind of cheery one. And it's often played with footage from Woodstock and, oh, what a day and what an era and all of that. Now, of course, in short, it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, if you want to reduce it to what actually happened. And, in fact, the counterculture revolution of the 60s helped pave the way for a lot of the problems we're experiencing today. And many of the radicals from the 60s are now tenured professors at our universities, but they're just as radical as ever. So in that regard, a lot of bad came out of that time. There's the old saying, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. And some of you are nodding because you were there and you understand exactly what it means. On the other hand, there was a spiritual search going on. There was a cry. There was a recognition that the world as we knew it was messed up and that change needed to come. There was a recognition that the world as we knew it was not making sense. Daddy, why do you tell me I need to study hard in school? Son, you need to do well in school so that you can get accepted to the best college. Daddy, why do I want to get accepted to the best college? Son, you want to get accepted to the best college so that you can get the best education and get the best job. Daddy, why do I need the best job? You need the best job so that you can put your kids in the best school and give them the best education so they can get the best job, so they can put their kids in the best school and give them the best education. And young people say, wait, wait, that's it? That's the meaning of life? That's the American dream? Now, again, I'm oversimplifying, but people began to ask more questions about the meaning of life. And then young people, young men, faced with the prospect of a draft and having to go fight in Vietnam for a war that seemed to make no sense at all. Why that? Why are we going? Why are we dying there? we're coming back and we're rejected by our own country. There was a pushback against the establishment, and just sociologically, demographically, the baby boomer generation, so the post-war years, now couples having children, and now a larger percentage of children being born, so you have a larger percentage of young people, and young people tend to fight more and be anti-establishment more and challenge the rules more. So you have that happening in disproportionate measure relative to our normal societal breakdown. You have all of the ingredients for cultural change. Which way is it going to go? Psychologist David Myers, in a book written about 15 years ago, pointed out if you fell asleep in the year 1960 and woke up in the year 2000, you'd wake up to the divorce rate doubled, teen suicide tripled, reported violent crime up 4 times, prison population up 5 times, children born out of wedlock up 6 times, people living together out of wedlock up 7 times. Dramatic shifts. Good things happened in the 60s for sure. Things like the civil rights movement and certain aspects of women's equality, positive. But there was also radical feminism that downplayed the importance and sacredness of motherhood. There was the strong pro-abortion movement. There was the sexual revolution. There was the introduction of marijuana and psychedelic drugs. There was the introduction of Eastern religion. There was the birthing in force of the gay rights movement. A lot of these things were birthed out of the 60s and have had a negative, destructive effect on our society. You say, okay, I still don't get where you're going with all this, and what does this have to do with traditional religion? Okay. I was part of that 60s counterculture revolution and anti-establishment and again, the whole just drugs and rock and roll and decadent lifestyle. But when Jesus saved me, I realized, okay, this is what life is all about. It was not about traditional religion, and I don't mean religion can't have tradition. A Catholic woman started going back and forth with me on Twitter. I said, I'm not thinking Catholicism. That wasn't my issue. I wasn't thinking traditional Judaism when I said it. I was thinking within the context of traditional Protestant religion, okay, in terms of the context of the circles in which I traveled primarily. I wasn't thinking about Orthodox churches or traditional Jewish synagogues or Catholic churches. I wasn't even thinking about that. It's not that you can't have beauty in tradition, but the traditional religion to me is the religion of the establishment. Traditional religion is the religion of the status quo. That's what I meant by it. And when I watched that old footage from Woodstock, yes, people were lost. Yes, it was decadent and people sleeping together didn't even know each other for 24 hours and all kinds of drug use. Yes, yes, yes. And a lot of the message that was coming forth in the music was anything but wholesome. I understand all of that. I'm not glorifying it. I'm not changing what it was. I am saying that people were searching. There was a spiritual search. There was a recognition that this material world alone is not it. There was a recognition that there had to be more. And for the most part, the church was asleep through a lot of what was happening and didn't realize what was taking place. What the church saw primarily in those days was, this is just rebellion, this is the end times, this is it, the whole world's going to hell, look around, look at what's happening. Rather than saying, okay, a lot of sinful things are happening, it's a lot of rebellion, no question about it, but people are looking, people are searching. And a lot of young people knew the one place you don't search is the church, because that's traditional religion. That's why you go to the Eastern religions or this ideology or that ideology. And of course, God graciously, wonderfully, gloriously did save many of us in traditional church buildings with stained glass windows and pews, and saved many of us in that setting. And in some settings where the leader wore a clerical outfit and others where they just wore a suit and tie, but I'm talking about it wasn't a hippie fest. They weren't playing Jimi Hendrix music and smoking pot and talking about Jesus. We got saved in traditional churches in that respect. But what has driven me all these years is not, we must reestablish the status quo and enforce that on society. No, that's never resonated with me. It's not right-wing politics that resonates with me. What resonates with me is the revolutionary cause of Jesus. This is what so many young people are really looking for, and that's why when they found him, they found the meaning of life. The ultimate one who came to challenge the establishment. The ultimate one who came to challenge the ways of man and the ways of the flesh. The ultimate one who said, there is something more. He's the one I relate to. I don't relate to right-wing politics. I don't relate to traditional religion. I relate to the revolutionary cause of Jesus. And in many cases, it's very different than what mainstream religion gives itself to. How revolutionary do we want to be in terms of how much do we really want to follow Jesus? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I hope you hear what I'm saying. I joyfully, gladly work with believers from every background. And if the person I'm working with wears a robe or wears a clerical collar or wears a suit and tie or wears a t-shirt, that's immaterial to me. If they love the Lord, if they're devoted to Jesus, if they're serious about serving God, I could care less about that. And I could care less about the tag that they put on themselves, whether they say we're part of the radical underground church or we're part of the Orthodox establishment. I could care less about the tag. I want to know exactly what do you believe according to the Bible, what do you believe, and how do you live? That's my issue. And I recognize that there is much that is holy and beautiful in tradition. I recognize that God has preserved truths in his word and among his people, meaning I have no problem with one church group saying we base ourselves on this particular creed or confession because we find it to be in harmony with scripture and sacred. Fine. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every generation. I'm not saying that. And I am pro-authority. I don't know how you could be pro-God and anti-authority, because God is a God of order and authority. And when we get out of authority, then we have chaos and anarchy. And rebellion is wrong. I know it was a slogan in the American Revolution that rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God. But I want to emphasize obedience to God. I want to emphasize that's what matters, obedience to God. I'm not out to rebel against the system. I'm not out to rebel against the society. I'm out to obey God. But often we have this traditional religious way of doing it. We could do it in a house group where everyone's sitting around, you know, drinking soda and with wearing sandals and jeans and, oh, we're non-traditional. Like, it'd be totally traditional. The forum is not as important to me as the spirit of the thing. And what I do not resonate with is status quo religion. What I do not resonate with is just the old way of doing it. We're just going to impose that without vitality and life. The old truths, yes, the old ways of God, they never change. But today, that is totally revolutionary. To live by the ways of God today is totally revolutionary. To live by biblical principles is totally revolutionary. And that's what my heart beats with. A Jesus revolution, meaning he radically changes us and we go and change our world. That the effect of God's presence, God's truth, God's spirit in our lives, the effect of the death and resurrection of Jesus in our lives is so dramatic that it causes us to bow down to different gods, that it causes us to live for different purposes, that we live with eternity in mind, passing through this world, whether we have a big house or a small house, whether we have money in the bank or not, that's all secondary. It's the attitude of the heart which is the biggest. And we are here to bring about change. That as we're raising our kids, we're here to raise kids that are not just going to live by the the status quo of the society or march to the beat of the same drummer. We want them to march to the drumbeat of our God, of our King, of our Savior, of our Lord. We want to raise up kids that in turn are going to be counterculture revolutionaries for Jesus by going against the tide of the society, by going against the grain of the society, by going against the status quo of the world, be it the values of the world, be it the lifestyle of the world, be it the practices of the world, where those are contrary to the ways of God, then that's when we stand up and say, we are going to do what is right, and we are going to swim against the tide, and we are going to go against the grain, and we are going to sensitize our minds, our hearts to the things that Jesus cares about. And if that means wearing tie-dye shirts, or whether that means wearing suits and ties and long dresses, that part is immaterial. But the idea that all that we're here to do is impose traditional religious values on society, I don't resonate with that. I don't resonate with that. In fact, I don't like to use the term traditional marriage. We stand for traditional marriage. Now, please, many of my friends and colleagues use that term, and I understand exactly what they mean. But I'm not fighting for traditional marriage. What if our traditions were wrong? What if we lived in Uganda where traditional marriage included polygamy? Even in the church settings, that's not the goal. What if traditional marriage was a completely patriarchal thing where the man was over the woman and she was like a slave and more like a possession? What if that was traditional marriage? That's not what I want. That's not the goal. The goal is marriage as God intended it. The goal is family as God intended it. The goal is truth as God defines it. Not the subjective definitions of this age, not your truth and my truth, but the truth. That's the goal. And again, many times it's just semantics, but a lot of times it is how we live. It is how we relate to this world. And I relate to this world in a revolutionary way. The same way that I was in sin and thinking, hey, this is what I'm living for now, and drugs and rock and roll and this whole lifestyle and gave myself to it. I was wrong. It was demonic. I was deluded. Well, I met the Lord. Well, then I gave myself to Him all the way, not partially, not half-heartedly, but all the way. And I remember as a fairly new believer, my life was clean for the first time. And now I'm living for God. But I'm not totally filled with God in that I've gotten rid of the bad, but I haven't totally filled myself with the new, with the good, with God. And I remember I said to myself, I could live a clean but empty life, or I could give myself to God the way I gave myself to drugs and rock music. And with that, I took the plunge. And with that, spent hours and hours with the Lord in the Word and prayer. And my life was revolutionized even yet more radically. That's what I'm appealing to you to do, to give yourself to God the way in the past you gave yourself to sin, or the way you gave yourself to sports or music or making money or whatever it was to get ahead, and you gave yourself with great dedication and sacrifice. Give yourself to God that way and then say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. Friend, I want to encourage you to visit our website, AskDrBrown.org. When you do, make sure you sign up for my emails, my weekly emails, which will bless you and encourage you and equip you and help you. I want to send you a free ebook, 7 Secrets of the Real Messiah. I'm telling you, this is an eye-opener. It's my gift to you. When you sign up for our emails, go to AskDrBrown.org. Today, we come back speaking to John Zmarek. It's going to be another interesting conversation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. It is my delight to speak with friend and colleague John Zmirak. He writes regularly as a senior editor with the Stream, stream.org. I'm always learning from his articles and finding them thoroughly enjoyable as well. We've got a bunch of things to talk about today. Hey, John, thanks for joining us again on the line of fire.
Thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure.
Let's talk briefly about France. And then, with you being a conservative Catholic, I really want to hear your view on Pope Francis and then bishops, Catholic bishops in America. It's a world that's a little different than my world, and I'm eager to hear your perspective on it. But, John, I wrote an article just with one focus about the Jewish people of France and Marine Le Pen, and raised that one side of the issue only. You're looking at the broader issues of what France is facing and the two candidates that it could potentially vote for. So what do you see as the strengths and weaknesses of the candidates? What can we learn from French history in the past?